Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Way Baptist Church radio program. We'd like to take this time to invite you to come be with us. The church is located at 3904 Tryon Courthouse Road in Cherville, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday morning Sunday school at 10, preaching at 11, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday night at 7. Our pastor is Brother Kenneth Queen. We hope you come be with us. Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this program would be a blessing.
Each time I stop and take the time to look around me, I see the signs of His appearing everywhere. The things He said would come to pass are now before us, and I feel a strange excitement in the air. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, there's a longing in my heart for His appearing. I'll gladly leave behind His trials here below. For this journey has been long and I'm so weary, but Lord, somehow I feel so much closer home. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. For I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any
if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, great grace. Great grace. You know, we sang Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Do we really think about how great the grace of God is? The greatness of grace, what does it do? It sees the need of man and the need of salvation. And if you think about it, it's without merit. It's without merit. There ain't a one of us in this room this morning deserves God's grace. If you looked at our record before we got saved, God knows we didn't deserve His grace. Not a one of us. Now let me go a little bit further. If you looked at each one of our records after we got saved, we still don't deserve God's grace. Because there's not a one of us worthy or merit God's grace. But God gives it to us for because of His goodness, of His greatness. I wonder the songwriter could sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I wonder Paul could write Great Grace. By the help of God, in just a few minutes, I want to look at some great grace. How great grace really is. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Acts 4 and 31 it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together." Let me stop there a minute. Have you noticed a lot of things happen when they prayed? A lot of time the place was shaken. When they prayed in another place, Peter was released from prison. The angels went in and got him. When Paul and Silas was praying in prison in Acts chapter 16, remember the earthquake came? Things happen when we begin to pray. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for what you've done for us, Lord. I thank you, dear God, for your great grace. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us now and use us for your glory. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say, a lot of false religions, a lot of different things to try to say, this is teaching me and you that you need to sell everything that you've got and give it to the church, that you need to do all this and all that. But that ain't what it's teaching us. What it's teaching us is, if you see your brother or your sister in need, then it's time to help. Amen. Had all things in common. Something is wrong if I'm eating T-bone steak and you're eating dirt. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong if you're eating T-bone steak and I'm eating dirt. I mean, I'm just being honest. Something's wrong with that picture. But it goes on and he says, and with great power they give the testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. Without the power of God upon us, we're just saying words. But great grace. Great grace. How great is this grace? I don't believe there's a man alive got enough words, a big enough vocabulary to tell you how great this grace was. If I could... only had the words to describe. And I believe if my mind's not big enough to understand just how great this grace is. But first of all, it's great in salvation. Grace is great in salvation. And if you think about it as we look, it's not about me and you. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what makes it so great. It's not that I can put so much money in the offering, that I can do this, I can do... It's God that makes salvation great. Think about where you was at. Think about where this grace brought you from. Maybe you wasn't as bad as me. Maybe you wasn't an alcoholic. Maybe you didn't do drugs. Maybe you didn't do this or do that. Maybe you belonged to church. Maybe you done this. But you was still a sinner in the sight of God. You still needed the grace of God to be able to make it to heaven. Now, I want you to think where He brought you from, but I want you to think about this grace in salvation through Jesus Christ, where He brought you from, but where He's taking you to. Yes. Now, think about that. What we deserve is hell. But because God brought us, He put us into the family of God. We're born into the family of grace. Not a one of us deserves that. Not a one of the apostles deserved that. You say, but the apostles, they just taught here with great power. They just taught with great grace. They done this, but they did not deserve the grace that came upon them. I mean, think about it. Me and you, as we was younger, we done this, we done that. You never thought about on a Saturday going to a little country church and listening to a Brother Johnny preach and having a bologna sandwich or a picnic lunch. I don't know what you have. But we never thought about doing that. But thank God on a morning we could get together. And on a Sunday morning, that you'd get up. And for some reason the bed felt good this morning. But you got up and come to God's house. I used to laugh at people that did that. I thought that was crazy. You know, don't get me wrong, my dad and mom made us go to church. But after I got older, I didn't. God's greatness. Grace is great in salvation. Then grace is great in teaching. Grace not only saves, but it also teaches us how to live. Now follow me. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Listen it. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. It don't say that we're supposed to do it when we get to heaven. Right now, me and you are supposed to live. We like to say we're Christians. Are we living like it? The grace of God teaches me and you how to live. When you do something wrong, there should be an alarm goes off. It's called the Holy Ghost that tells you that you messed up. You need to get things right. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do it again. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit teaching me and you how to live. And God help me. But have you noticed how the homosexuals are trying to make themselves look right? You don't have to say nothing about it, and they'll come to their defense. Well, I believe this, I do this, I do that. If God did, God, why are they trying to defend themselves if you hadn't said nothing about it? Because their conscience has already told them it's not right. Think about it. They're conscious, but the Holy Ghost, when we get saved, moves in. And when that teller gives you an extra $20, that you can't take it home with you, that you have to take it back to her. Or something happens that you got a chance to maybe get ahead, and you think, boy, I can cheat him right here. You better be careful. You better be careful. God knows everything that we do, and He teaches us what's right and wrong. Now, I'm going to take these kids. Say her little brother's got something, and he turns her head and she grabs it. She knows she's not supposed to do that. She knows it's wrong. She knows she's going to get in trouble. God tells me and you the same thing. That don't belong to you. You remember, you just could lay your wallet down in your house and let's leave it laying there. I don't care how much money you got in it. And people would come in and they'd never bother it. Now, glory to God, you better lock it up. Why? Because people seared their own conscience. Because God's people are not listening to the Holy Ghost saying that's wrong. You need to live righteously, godly in this present world. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. It's grace that teaches us to do this, to live right. And then grace is great in protection. In protection. Do you know Satan would love to kill every one of us before we get home? He'd love it. Satan don't want you to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Satan does not want you to live godly in this present world. Now follow me a minute. If you are living ungodly and your testimony ain't nothing, Satan's happy. Because you've done and give in to Satan. But when you're living righteously, soberly in this present world, Satan wants to kill you. He don't like your testimony. I heard Brother Tom say this about a man in this community. He said when that man died, Cherville lost a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think about those statements. Think about that statement. Can somebody say that about me and you? When something happens to me and you, can somebody say, the area that we live lost a great witness for Jesus Christ? Lord, help. Satan wants to kill you, but the Holy Ghost protects me and you. Think about it. My little mind can't comprehend all this, okay? But it's because of grace. You go back and study the Great Tribulation, what's going to happen. No, don't get me wrong. I believe that in the Great Tribulation, there are going to be some people saved from every nation, every tongue. And I can't explain this. The Holy Ghost has still got to draw them. I know this, okay? But for some reason, this protection part of the grace is going to be took away. And they're going to be persecuted beyond anything me and you can ever think of. They're going to be, today, look across the world. What's going on? Men or women, boys and girls are being beheaded for the standing up for Jesus Christ, standing up for God. We're lucky and we're fortunate right here in this country right now. It's not right here right now. But it's because of the grace of God keeping me and you safe. Do you know it's the grace of God? Oh, we've got locks on the doors. No, it's the grace of God that nobody's come in here and threw a pipe bomb. And I'm saying this to America's shame. They've been 10 black churches that somebody has thrown something in front of the door and burnt the doors on those churches. I don't care if it's Church of God. I don't care if it's Baptist. I don't care what it is. That's a shame that it's going on. I don't care if it's a black church, white church, Mexican church. Something is wrong when people can do that to a house of God. Something's wrong. But thank God for His protection for me and you. Parents, what can you do when you send your kids to school? All you can do is pray for God's protection upon them. God, protect my babies. When me and you climb in that car to go home, we can't do nothing. Yo, we can keep the car on our side of the road, but we better pray for God's protection. They might be a drunk out there. I used to pray. The only reason I don't like watch night services, and I'm going to be honest with you, I love the services. I hate the time they let out. Because when they let out about the same time the parties let out. And you meet a lot of drunks on the road. I used to pray this prayer every time when we'd have one. I'd say, God, if there's some drunk on the road, it's going to hit us before we get there. Will you put them in the ditch before we get there? God, please protect our people. Because Satan wants to kill you. Satan wants to kill your testimony. He can't take you to hell. That's because of the grace of God. But He don't want you telling nobody else about Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. Thank God for that great grace. And then, I've never experienced this part, but I have witnessed it. Grace is great in dying. Some of you, it's worked in the medical field. You've also experienced it. We now have living grace. When death comes, we'll have dying grace. I honestly believe that. This is 2 Corinthians 12:9. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you ever experience somebody dying, and I hope you never have to, you can tell a difference in a person that's right with God and a person that's not. A person that's right with God, a peace comes upon them. A peace that you can't explain. Somebody that's not right with God, there's a fear that comes upon them. You say, Preacher, you're trying to scare us. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Ask some of these CNAs, ask some of these nurses. They've seen people die. There's a difference. Even in the room where they're dying, there's a difference. I'm talking about the feeling that you get when you walk in that room. One is total peace. Brother Johnny knows what. Even on wrecks and stuff like that, there's a peace about that one person. But that other one, it's almost like you want to leave the room. Because I don't know how to describe it. I really don't. I guess David described it, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Think about it. He's my shepherd. God's grace. I believe this. God's grace will take us through that valley. I don't look forward to dying. I look forward to going to heaven. The dying part ain't what scares me. What scares me is getting to the dying part. What do you mean by that? And I'm going to pick on Ann. Please don't think. I don't want to go what through Ann's going through. I don't. Miss Eva. I don't want to go what Miss Eva's been going through the last few weeks. Doctor bills, hospital bills, hurting. I don't want to go what Miss Melissa's going through right now. I don't want to go through that. The death part don't scare me. Getting there scares me. But God's grace will get me there. Can I explain that? Ask Miss Ann. God's grace is sufficient. Is it easy? God never promised it'd be easy. When me and you have to bury a loved one, last Sunday, I believe it was it last Sunday or Wednesday, when Miss Ruth passed away a year. Well, anyway, Brother Charles made the statement it had been a year since his wife passed away. He had to experience that. But even facing the death of a loved one, God's grace is sufficient. I ain't saying it's easy. If you love somebody, it's not supposed to be easy. Because we're separated from the one that we love. I've said this many a time in here. I'd love to leave church this afternoon and go sit at Mom and Daddy's table and have a cup of coffee with them. I'd love to do that. I'd love to call my brother on the phone and to talk to him one more time. But I can't do that. But God's grace is sufficient. It'll take us through it. God tells us that. Now, there's a time for mourning. Something's wrong if you don't mourn somebody that you love. Something's wrong. They mourned Moses for 40 days. Even David, we've been studying this in Sunday school. Absalom turned totally against him, wanted to kill David, but yet David mourned the death of his son. But yet God gave him grace to go on. God give us grace. I don't know how we got there. It wasn't supposed to be part of it. But God give us grace. Then grace is a great in hope. What I mean to that, listen at Titus 2 and 13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This hope is blessed because of the blessings it brings. I mean, think about what this hope does for me and you. If we're looking for Jesus Christ, then we're living for Him. If we're looking for Jesus, we're living our lives like He may come today. And He may. Now think about this. And I'm going to pick when the ladies went to the coast. It got Sunday after church. I had to go home and wash dishes. And pick up a little bit because my wife was coming home. I didn't want her to come home to a whole sink full of dishes. Just a dirty house, I mean. But you know what I'm saying? Why did I go ahead and wash the dishes? Because I didn't want her to come in and see how nasty her husband had got while she was gone. Are you following me just a minute now? What about Jesus Christ? He's coming any day, any time. Are we prepared for His coming? Have we cleaned it up? This is the hope that He's coming back. The grace of that hope makes me and you live our lives cleaner than we would any other time. If we're looking for Him, we'll be living for Him. I believe that. Well, preacher, you don't understand. It don't matter if I understand or not. If we're looking for Him, we'll be living for Him. Preacher, you don't understand my problems. You don't understand my problems. Each and every one of us in here has got problems. But you know, we've got no excuse. Not a one of us, not a one of us has got excuse not to live for Him. But preacher, we've got no excuse. Oh, we can make excuse. And I'm going to use it. I need to mow the back half of my grass. My yard's mowed. It looks all right. I just want to get the back half before the winter sets in. Well, let's see. Tomorrow I got to go to BA. Tuesday, John, not this John, the young John's got surgery. Wednesday we got church. Thursday I've got something I got to do. I got to take my dog to the vet. Friday I got to go back to VA. So I don't guess I'll get it mowed, will I? What am I doing? I'm making excuses. Are you following me? We make excuses when we don't want to do something. There's no excuse for us not living for Jesus Christ. No excuse. Got awful quiet real quick. What does this grace cost? It's the gift of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God loving sinners. Listen at Romans 5 and 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But it's God giving His Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not a one of us deserves this grace. Not a one of us is good enough to get this grace. But because God loves us, God loves me, God loves you, He bestows His grace upon me and you. You know, it's an honor and it's a privilege to live for Jesus Christ. It's something to say, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God because of His amazing grace. Because of His great grace. God, why ain't I living for you more? Why ain't I telling more people about you? Why not going out of my way, God, to tell that lost man that you died for him, that you loved him? There's a church right above our house. And it's got a sign on it right now. It says, you know, them signs that they put out. He says, Jesus Christ is the bread of life. I heard grace described like, and I'll finish the statement in a minute. I heard grace described like this one time. It's one hungry man telling another hungry man where he found bread, the bread of life. But that sign goes on and says, if you don't accept this bread, you'll be toast. You'll be toast. Are we living for it? I guarantee if I asked, I could say everybody close their eyes, everybody, nobody looking around, everybody that's a Christian, raise your hand. And 98% of you would raise your hand, maybe 100%. I'm a Christian, preacher. I'm a Christian. Are we living for Him? Are we living for Him? When we go out them doors, do people know that we're a Christian? Does our home represent a Christian home? Does our vehicles represent a Christian vehicle? Does people know that I'm a child? I'm a Christian. You go out on the street, John will tell you exactly what I'm talking about. 98-99% of the people you ask, yeah, I'm a Christian. Some of them will never mention Jesus Christ. Are we really Christian? Or do we just think it looks good when we raise our hand? God knows. God knows if our name's wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life.